This show is supported by State Farm. You have insurance for your home, your health, and your car. Why don't you have insurance for your small business? So many small business owners think they don't need or don't even know about small business insurance. Protecting a source of revenue is one thing, but so is protecting all of your hard work and your team members. State Farm agents are all small business owners too, so they know how to help small business owners choose personalized policies that fit their budgets. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hi, I'm Alex L., and I write books for a living. The Hey Girl podcast was created with sisterhood and storytelling in mind. Hey girl.
Hey girl.
Hey girl.
Hey girl.
I'll be sitting down with some phenomenal women to discuss love.
I believe we grew distant out of love of some type, like, yeah. I don't want to hurt you.
Loss.
Really don't know what's going to trigger that feeling of right. grief in any moment.
And a topic very important to my work. Self-care.
Freedom is self-care. It's not about pedicures. It's not about clothing. It's not about trips.
Join us as we journey through sharing together. Today on the show, I'm sitting down with Farah. She is a DC-based photographer, and I had the pleasure of having her in studio. We're chatting about self-care, identity, and the different chapters of life. I think you're really going to enjoy her story. Here's Farah. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Farah, thank you for joining me today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on.
I'm excited to chat with you. I rarely have in-studio guests, so this is like very fun for me to sit across from you. So before we get started, who are you and what do you do for the Hey Girl listeners who may not be familiar?
Sure. So my name is Farah Skaike, and I'm a photographer. I'm a musician, and I'm also currently the creative and culture manager at the Lion Hotel in Washington, D.C.,
So let's start with photographer.
Great.
When did you fall in love with taking photos?
I think I developed my obsession with documenting from my dad. Mm-hmm. He was one of those, like, almost like a sharper image dad. Like, if there was a new camera, he was really excited about it. And maybe it was like a point and shoot. It was not a DSLR, but mm-hmm. he would be taking photos, like, of anything, any occasion. And there were always pictures. Mm. So when I was just around my 17th birthday, when he got sick, you know, our priorities as a family like changed a little bit. And I started becoming the obsessive documentarian who I would like, I'd never taken a photo class, but my friends would play, you know, in each other's basements and at the rec center. And I would start taking my camera. I would take it with me to school mm-hmm. and people would be like, are you in a photo class? Like, I'm not, but I'm really excited about this. So I think I realized this later that I had accidentally taken on the role of the family documentarian. Mm-hmm. But the taking photos of friends' bands was kind of how I set myself up for doing what I do now, is mostly photographing live music, mm-hmm. mostly focusing on punk and hardcore and local DIY stuff.
Mm. So I want to rewind a little bit and talk about your dad and how he was always taking the photos, right?
Yeah.
How much does family and culture and upbringing play in your identity as a person walking through the world and a creative person?
Sure. I think it's a really good question. when it comes to photography, I think my culture and my family's history plays into it in ways that people might not obviously realize right off the bat when they look at like a show photo I've taken.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my family is from Lebanon and from Sierra Leone. And there's two places that people don't know a ton about unless they've been there or they have an understanding of those places from like a book they read in a history class or in a politics class. And you're really getting kind of like the cut and dry version of it, or you're seeing the worst of those places on the news because that's when they're on the news. They're not on the news because something great happened in Lebanon today.
Right.
You know, they're on the news because something terrible happened in Lebanon today.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt exhausting to see a place I love so much only portrayed in that one light when I had, you know, have seen so many sides of it and seen such a beautiful place. And I think my family also felt this like people don't get where we're from kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And another side of it for me is just I grew up loving punk music, and for a long time I didn't see anybody who looked like me in those bands. Mm. And I realized that the person who was doing the documenting had a lot to do with who was being documented and who was being remembered. So I would learn about women of color in punk way after I would learn about, you know, white people or white women in punk. Mm. And that was a really big moment for me. So what I kind of take from all of that, you know, feeling misunderstood or unrepresented is wanting to make sure that with what's happening now in music, that people know that we're here. People know that women are here, trans folks are here, queer folks are here, people of color are here, black people are here. Mm-hmm. I don't want anybody to ever be able to say, oh, I didn't know that these people were part of this, that these people were making and doing.
Yeah. And that's really important because representation matters, right? As we've seen. I mean, that's such a kind of cliche phrase now, but it really is beneficial for folks to be like, oh, there I am. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking about Rami on our walk, the show Rami on Hulu. And the first thing you said was like, I've never seen that before. You know, like a show centered around a Muslim family and their habits and their rituals and all of the things.
Yeah.
So it just kind of comes to show that we need to see things and people and experiences that remind us of home or that remind us like, oh, I can show up in this space too.
Yes. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, DC has a great history of punk and people talk about it in the past tense and it drives me crazy because so much is happening right now or yesterday. Like tomorrow, someone is going to announce a new band and put out a tape. You know, it happens very quickly and it's still going. So I think the getting caught up in the nostalgia part kind of annoys me a little bit when people are like worshiping the 80s and 90s that happened here. And all that music was great and important. Right. I love it. But if you don't have the context of the present tense, then you're missing a lot. So I have like I always have a great time going to shows around here. But, you know, one of my favorite things I go to every year is my friend Scout over in Philly has this festival called Break Free Fest. Mm-hmm. And it's all black and brown people making punk. And I've never been in a space before where we were listening to reggaeton between sets and everybody is like fully showing up as themselves. I've never felt like that in a room before. Mm-hmm. Maybe I didn't know another Lebanese person there or another, you know, Lebanese West African person there or another Muslim person there. But it was, you know, we all were in this special space that we had never really been in before until that weekend.
I love that. So what has photography, specifically in the punk space and in the space that you're cultivating as a photographer looking to capture marginalized folks in the area and also just in your work, what has that taught you about community and community building?
It's funny because I feel like a lot of the people I photograph are not going to refer to themselves as marginalized because I think it has an alignment with like weak. Because when I see those people or those women on stage, like none of those people are weak. Mm-hmm. They are the most powerful people I have ever seen. Mm-hmm. So it's there's like a lot of resilience. There's a lot of demanding that we're going to make noise and you're going to know that we're here and this is what we're about. So I have a lot of respect for that. And I try to make sure that you can feel it looking at a photo. Mm-hmm. Like if you could feel like, oh, I almost feel like I was there. That's the most important thing to me. And like, even if that feeling is anger, like good, understand that anger, there's a lot behind it. And maybe you should look it up and listen, like check out the lyrics and learn something from it. Mm-hmm. But that's the biggest part of it for me is we're not, you know, we're like, yes, in the broader sense, as far as like making our way in the world outside of those small show spaces, like we're marginalized, but in those rooms, we're powerful people, and we are as we walk day to day in our lives as well.
This show is supported by State Farm. Insurance is a part of any solid financial plan. Making sure you have the important things in life covered is one of the best ways to give yourself a little breathing room when things go awry. It's important to protect not only your business, but yourself as a business owner and all current and future team members. State Farm agents know what it takes to run and protect a small business because State Farm agents are all small business owners and they live and work in your community. So they're deeply attuned to what's happening with other small businesses in your market. If you have a small business and are interested in making sure you're protected, reach out to your local State Farm agent to learn more about what you need. They'll help you find the right policy at the right price for your business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Do you love discovering new products? Are you a beauty and fashion maven constantly on the hunt for the next best thing? Ever read about or spot something online that you've always wanted to try but never have? then you might love FabFitFun. It allows women everywhere to discover new products, as well as including rave review and must-have brands that you know and love. It's like Christmas four times a year. Stumped on gift ideas? FabFitFun is also a great gift for someone you love. You can surprise your mom or sister with this awesome summer box packed with great items. Do you have a daughter who's going to college, maybe? Or a friend who's a new mom? FabFitFun is an awesome care package. My last box came with this beautiful lotus towel. It was blue, and it's shaped like the flower, and it has a gorgeous design in the middle. That's something we've been laying out on the deck and relaxing on for a few weeks now. So what I love about FabFitFun is that they offer full-size products, no samples of anything. Every box is guaranteed to have over $200+ in retail value. The summer 2019 box has a total retail value between $269 to $467. That's fantastic. Treat yourself with items in it, such as the Sutra Professional Mini Travel Blow Dryer, the beautiful Vicks Paula Lotus Towel, or the West Elm Indigo Tie-Dye Bowls. Many of the products' individual value is more than the entire cost of the box. You can customize your box by choosing some products and some add-ons with each one. Or you can be surprised. It's great for discovering new brands and new products. What a better way to shop. I'm looking forward to my next box because they're always so different and packed with things I can actually use. I like to share the items in my box with my 11-year-old. She's really into skincare these days. We recently got a clay mask and a foot mask and a body scrub. She loves them all. The FabFitFun 2019 summer box is on sale now. So sign up for FabFitFun today. These boxes always sell out. You can use my code HEYGIRL to get $10 off your first box. All you have to do is go to FabFitFun to sign up and get started. Use promo code HEYGIRL to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 for only $39.99. Go to FabFitFun.com and use my code HEYGIRL to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box. So when it comes to balancing 9-to-5 and creative work, you and I have kind of had this conversation before. How has that been for you? And, you know, you started as a creative entrepreneur and then things shifted. And I want to kind of talk about that because no one is really leaning into the fact that there are some people who do creative work and have 9-to-5s and some people who don't. And I think more people who do creative work and have traditional jobs need to be talking. I know I was when I was in that position. Mm-hmm. So what does that feel like to go from one extreme to the next and then kind of balancing the two?
Sure. I feel like I've always been balancing the two because I've always had another creative pursuit that wasn't just music photography or photography that I was, you know, doing purely for myself out of the curiosity and enjoyment of it, which is what music photography is to me.
Right.
But, you know, before I was at The Line, I was working for myself and I was running a small media company called Dim Sum. I was working with about 14 DC restaurants, bars, small businesses at a time and doing everything under the creative umbrella, especially things that touched photography. So I'd be your photographer, but also your social media director or your publicist or the person who was creating your email campaigns or building and helping guide your website. Mm-hmm. So I was wearing a lot of hats. I was working with a lot of people. And then on top of that, still shooting shows very regularly.
Mm-hmm.
At The Line, I still have a very creative job. So I get to wear a different kind of creative hat when I'm there. And I love it because it's a job where I get to use every part of my creative brain in different ways that I didn't know I could. I remember learning that hotels had creative teams and that was the coolest thing I'd ever heard. And for a second, it didn't click. And I realized, like, I'm a person who loves, even if I'm walking into a Days Inn, I'm like, all right, let's open every drawer. Let's read every pamphlet.
Yeah.
Let's check out everything before I unpack my bag.
Yeah.
And I look forward to those experiences and just seeing what different places do with them way before this was a part of my life. So I should not be surprised that this is something I came into.
Yeah.
But it definitely is a balance for sure. There are nights where it's like, all right, we're going to be here tonight because we've got an event. You're going to miss that show you're excited about. And that's just kind of part of it. Like, yeah. I understand that that's what I signed up for. But at the same time, there's always going to be something exciting to shoot, some of your interest mm-hmm. in doing, even mm-hmm. if you miss that one night. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of pressure put on us folks who do multitask with the 9-to-5 and then whatever creative pursuit is happening after that, you know, pressure to multitask, especially women, to be able to do it all, because right. we've been told from a young age that we see these women who, I can't have it all, or how does she do it all? Mm-hmm. And I don't want to see that burnout yeah. ever. So it's taken me a while, as I've been at my current job for a little over a year, and it's taken me a while to be a little bit kinder to myself mm-hmm. and not beat myself up for doing everything I wanted to do that day.
Mm. So let's transition into self-care. Because with all the things that we do as women and people, has to come this harmonizing of taking care of ourselves. What does that look like for you over the past year specifically?
A lot of it was being patient with myself, that I'm not just, it took me a second to realize I didn't just start a new job. This is a new career altogether. And I looked at myself and I said, you're going to have to be patient with yourself mm-hmm. or you're just going to be frustrated all the time. And nobody wants that energy at work. I don't want it. Nobody at work wants it. My dog doesn't want it. Nobody needs me to be a little ball of stress.
Right.
It doesn't help me or anybody else. But that was a big part of it, is being patient, being comfortable with asking questions, mm-hmm. even if they felt like they were dumb. Mm-hmm. And doing my own research, digging into it and looking up, you know, what other folks were doing. All right. I'm like new to the idea that creative teams even exist at hotels. So like, what homework do I need to do to learn more about it? Who are folks I can talk to near me? Who are folks who have had a 9-to-5 for a while and have to achieve the same kind of balance that I'm trying to achieve? Having those conversations and being open enough to say, I don't know, mm-hmm. but I would like to know.
Yeah.
And that's hard for a lot of people yeah. to be able to just come out and say, I do not have the answer, but I would like to find it, or one that makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. So being kind and patient to myself, and really prioritizing time with myself. I have a very social job, and then I'm in packed rooms with lots of people who are, we're all excited about the same thing. But, you know, you go to work, you know, then you go to a show and it's full of people. You can use that camera as a security blanket to start conversations or as an excuse to not have them. Mm. But really being honest with myself about where I am at and what do I need that day. You know, I feel like I'm self-aware enough to know, like, okay, going out with some friends after this is going to make me feel better and I will be pleasant company. Mm-hmm. Or being able to say, I think I just need to stay home
yeah.
and read this book. But being able to self-assess, and be very real with, like, what you need might change day to day, and that's fine. What worked on Monday might not work on Tuesday, and that's fine. Like, yeah. not beating yourself up because you journaled on Monday but didn't journal on Tuesday. It's like, it's a hard lesson to learn.
Yeah.
Especially for very stubborn Gemini.
I think that's so interesting that you said that, because I wrote yesterday that my how changes, and that my how I show up for myself is seasonal, mm-hmm. it feels like mm-hmm. sometimes. And to like be gentle with myself during that process is, like you said, it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. So outside of work, what does self-care feel like for you outside of work and outside of photography? How mm-hmm. do you pour into yourself when you have your quiet moments?
I love to sleep. I love sleeping. I love sleeping almost as much as I love eating. And I used to make myself feel very guilty for not getting up right away, not waking up, showering, going. Like, I don't have to go all the time. Like, I understand now that I need some slowness. Mm-hmm. And I savor those mornings where I can take some time with some tea, with the book. Maybe it's, you know, all right, I'm going to wake up a little early, but I'm going to go to the dog park in leggings. And that's what you're going to get from me, is leggings and like a messy bun.
Right.
And that's what you're getting. That's what the world is going to get from me. And like, that's okay. And
yeah.
it doesn't have to look perfect. Mm-hmm. And like, my slow time might look different than somebody else's slow time. But, you know, really taking time with myself, getting that quiet in. And if it's not quiet, then it's just like, it's me and my podcast today. Like, yeah. this is my time to catch up on that, because I don't have a job where I can or should be with my headphones in all day. So right. I like, you know, making some time to catch up on that, making some time to read something that has nothing to do with work and just hearing that quiet instead of getting stressed out and thinking of all the things I could or should be doing or making is really like leaning into that quiet and saying like, no, you deserve this and not only deserve it, you need it. Mm-hmm. So you can keep being the person you are excited about being.
I like that.
Yeah.
So I want to shift gears just a little bit and talk about growing older and friendships and how things shift and change as we get older in career, in work, and even in how we show up and take care of ourselves. So what has that been like for you over the years? From, I know I've been reflecting a lot on turning 30 in July and like what I'm shedding and what I'm, you know, blooming into and just the different seasons that I've been going through over the past 5 years. What has shown up for you lately in ways that are teaching you how to lean into who you are more and be really kind of sturdy and secure in that?
I love that you say seasons, because for me, I just look at things, I feel very comfortable looking at chapters of my life, right? I had a chapter of self-employment looks like this, and maybe in the future I'll have a different chapter of self-employment that will look nothing like that. But I like looking at it as a book, because when you mentioned friends, like somebody might show up in the first two chapters, they might not show up again until like chapter 13, and that's okay. Like that doesn't mean that because that person is in every single chapter with you, doesn't mean that they're not a good friend or they're not there for you or you're not there for them. Like they have their own whole book that's completely separate than yours.
Right.
A really difficult thing for me when I started a full-time job elsewhere other than me being the boss was a lot of my friends were people I worked with in some capacity. You know, amazing, strong, smart, self-employed women, and we could kind of finagle our schedules to make time for each other. And now all of a sudden I was the one with the 9-ish to 5-ish, and they were the ones moving a little bit more slowly in the morning and ramping up in the evening while I was, you know, doing the opposite. And there was a big disconnect, and that was really hard for me to accept for a little while. It's like, this doesn't mean you're losing these friendships. This just means that you just got to approach it a different way. Like, it's not assumed that we're going to see each other all the time anymore. It's not built into my day that I'm going to see those folks. So we just have to approach it from a different standpoint. All right, like, I'm going to pull up my calendar and I'm going to make time for you. And at first I thought, God, that's lame. I should not have to schedule time with my friends. Like, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
That sounds so sad. I really thought that it sounded sad. But, you know, I think it just means that, like, I'm prioritizing you enough that this is a block of time that I'm reserving for you and that I don't want anything else to interfere with. I have Google Calendar reminders to call my mom. That doesn't mean I'm a bad daughter because I need a reminder to call my mom. That means I understand how my brain works, and that for me, when I see that, it's like, oh, you have prioritized that. Go do it. The friend stuff is difficult. And there were some people who, you know, maybe I grew understanding of our lives just look different now. And this is just, we just have to, you know, find different ways to connect in, you know, in the same room or otherwise. And there were some people who didn't understand that and say, you're not making time for me. I'm like, well, for the first time in a while, I have to really just have to make time for myself and to not feel selfish about that and recognize who in your life acknowledges that. When you tell them, hey, I'm going through this change with my job, you know, I'm trying to get closer to my family, which is something that this job has allowed me to do. Is my day off is my day off. I want to go to the movies with my brother. I want to go, you know, take my mom to, you know, for a manicure or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm saying, hey, like, I just for at least for now, this is what I need to focus on. And I hope you can understand that that's like a little less of you. If you're I'll be 29 in June. I've got, you know, 13 months until 30. And I'm not as scared of that number now, but I was just talking to somebody and like, maybe I'll be more scared of it when I get there because people put like a lot of social pressure on that, but a lot of pressure around that number for, I think, for everybody. Like, you're supposed to have something together or know something about yourself that you didn't know the day before at 29 and 364 days.
Introducing Bluehost Cloud. Ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
I recently started wearing a new bra by Third Love, and I absolutely adore it. Did you know that breast shape matters when you're finding a good fit? I didn't. Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and premium feel. I found the Fit Finder quiz really helpful when I was picking out my Third Love bra. I didn't know I was wearing the wrong size for so long. I think what's really awesome about this is that over 12 million women have taken the quiz to date, and it's actually a pretty fun experience. I answered a few simple questions and I found my perfect fit in about 60 seconds. Third Love offers more than 70 sizes, which is more sizes than most other brands, including their signature half cup sizes. Not only that, but Third Love is convenient. You can skip the trip to the mall, find your fit with their online fit finder, order, try it on at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. What really sold me on Third Love was the 100% fit guarantee. Every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. And if you don't love it, you can return it. And Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. Third Love's team of expert fit stylists are dedicated to helping you find your perfect fit. Fit stylists are available every day to help via text, chat, or phone. Returns and exchanges are free and easy. What's not to love? Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they're offering Hey Girl listeners 15% off of your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/heygirl to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/heygirl for 15% off today.
There's so many people whose careers I admire who don't come into their careers. We don't find out about them until they're older.
Yeah.
And I see that and I go, like, there's not, you know, you read stories about somebody's 78-year-old grandma getting her law degree. I'm like, you're not too old to do anything. You're not too young to start anything. Right. And that gives me a lot of comfort that these chapters don't have anything to do with the years and the days on the calendar. Mm. They're different things. But yeah, finding those friends who really understand when you need to shift your focus on something else and not making it about them and letting you make something about you, mm-hmm. especially like I'm a very generous person with my time. If you're my friend, you're in my life, I want to give you as much of my time as I can.
Right.
So I had to train myself out of thinking that that was selfish to make that time for me. Mm-hmm. When somebody texts me, what are you doing? Oh, I'm at home. I'm reading. Cool. Let's go. No, I'm reading this book because that's what I would like to be doing right now. And I'm like really enjoying it. And I cannot wait to get to the next page.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that I don't want to see you. It just means that, like, this is a kind of focus I need on a different part of my life right now. And if your folks understand that, that's great. If your folks don't understand that, then maybe you can reconnect in another chapter and they've got their own stuff to figure out.
And I really love how you're using chapters. And I really liked how you said, just because someone was in, you know, the first two with you doesn't mean that they're going to be in the 13th chapter, and that also doesn't mean that the friendship is over or that self-employment has to look this way in chapter one and then that way by the end. Mm-hmm. And it's just really self-aware that you're able to kind of name that and picture it in a way that makes you feel like organized. I don't know if organized is the word.
It is. People will say, you're really organized. How do you get like that? Like, there's a lot of things I like to do. I love my job. I want to keep making my job a place for other creatives to shine, because that's a big part of what we do, especially focusing on DC creatives. Mm-hmm. I love shooting shows. I love playing music. I like to see my family. I like to see my friends. Like, if I'm not organized, I want to be the friend who's rescheduling with you again because they forgot that something else was on the calendar, and I don't want to be that person.
Yeah. So to wrap up our conversation, I want to talk about how art influences how you move through the world on a day-to-day basis and what it teaches you about yourself.
Art and community kind of tie together for me pretty well. I'm part of a collective of women and non-binary music photographers called To the Front, mm-hmm. and those photographers are all over the country. Some of them are in other parts of the world, but we all are following each other. And even if we can't make it to that person's art show because they live in Atlanta or Chicago or Toronto, mm-hmm. like we're still connected and we're getting a different perspective on it. But I think I try to consume as much art as I can that isn't also music photography and mm-hmm. get another view on it, because sometimes I find a lot of inspiration out of completely different styles of photography or art. Mm-hmm. So making time for that is really important to me, and taking space away from looking at the screen all day as well and finding other things to do, mm-hmm. walking around with, like, taking things slow and walking around, you know, meeting up with a friend for coffee. Great, I'm going to grab my film camera and I'm going to keep my eyes open and I'm going to turn my phone on airplane mode until I get there so my face isn't buried in the screen, but mm-hmm. I'm looking around in a way I haven't looked before. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that to me is, that self-care to me is just like taking the time to slow down and force myself to do things a little bit differently, because I know it's what I need and I always feel nourished after I do something like that.
What would you tell your younger self? What would you say to her with all the life lessons?
Oh my God.
And everything that you've learned up until this point?
First of all, I would tell myself that your big nose is cute and you look crazy with any other kind of nose. We're like, you know, we grow up thinking parts of ourselves are wrong or don't look right. And there was a lot of negative self-talk for a long time. And now I'm like, I love my big ass nose. Mm-hmm. I love my big crooked lips. Like, this is fine. Yeah. I would not be me if I didn't have these things. Mm-hmm. But more related to our conversation, the set traditional path is fine and it might work for some people and it might not. Mm-hmm. In some ways, having that kind of traditional pathway of, like, I know so many people who have thriving careers that had nothing to do with what they got their degree in. Mm-hmm. I know lots of people who have thriving careers and don't have a degree, or maybe they're going to start on it now.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of my younger self for trusting her gut. Mm. And making decisions and kind of standing firm with what she wanted to do. But even when she didn't, mm. you know, she still learned something about herself and what she wanted out of the world. So I think my younger self was maybe braver than I am right now in a lot of ways, and threw caution to the wind more frequently than I do mm. now. Now I'm like, I have a dog to think about. I can't just go willy-nilly. What about Bruno? But sometimes I look back at my younger self, I'm like, I should trust my gut more often because it hasn't steered me wrong yet. Mm. And to keep being just like proud of myself, when you have a creative career, I think there's, and you're explaining it to your parents, like there's sometimes a generational gap. Like, so you do Instagram for restaurants. How does that?
Yeah.
How do you make money from? Yeah. So you're in advertising. No, there's a generational gap, but there's also, for me, there was a cultural gap. You know, my parents wanted to be able to tell folks back home, like, careers that, professions that with one word everybody understands. Everybody knows what a teacher is. Everybody knows what a lawyer is. Everybody knows what a journalist is. But mm-hmm. you say creative and culture manager.
Like what?
Or a photographer, like weddings. And I'm like, no. You're like, weddings are fun and everything. But it took a while for me to understand that, like, they will get there on their own. And mm-hmm. I got wrapped up in how things should have been mm-hmm. and what support I should have had versus what the reality was. So I would have loved to tell myself to just, like, if you're proud of yourself and you feel good about what you're doing and how you're moving through the world, then it will fall into place later. And it might take some time, but it'll get there, and trust your gut.
The Hey Girl podcast is a member of The District Productive, produced by Paul, Woody Woodhall, and me, Alex L. Music by DC's own Kokai.
Thanks to State Farm for supporting this show and helping our listeners protect their businesses and lives. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.